In the wake of the shooting spree in Isla Vista, California, the Twitter hashtag YesAllWomen has gone viral. It started as a response to the writings and videos of the shooter, Elliot Roger, who had very publicly stated that he hated women. Using the hashtag, many women have been tweeting about their day-to-day experiences of sexism, misogyny, and violence. To talk with us about this hashtag and what it means is Suhe Vega, professor of women and gender studies at ASU. Professor Vega, good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi. How pervasive is this issue, this mindset that Elliot Roger had?
Well, I think what happens is it's kind of under the radar. And so it becomes a way that we've dealt with masculinity. We've dealt with the way that women have been treated in society for centuries at this point. But we feel that we're so far ahead. We're so into gender equality now that we've passed that. But much like racism, right, we haven't passed some forms of misogyny.
So I'm wondering, the focus has been on misogyny. Elliot Roger was not 100% Anglo. Is there something else we're missing here?
So yeah, so part of what I just joined Twitter, so I was a part of this right at the right time. And I had put together a little hashtag called More Than Misogyny because I was a bit frustrated at the way that the conversation was taking his masculinity, only his gender into account, where we know that it was more than misogyny, that we have to reconsider how power and privilege was impacting this young man's life and his unraveling, so that we can't divorce him from his self-hatred, his obsession with an entitlement that was owed to him, that he wasn't just a man, that he felt like as a white man, he was owed this attention by women. And that takes into account race, class, and gender privilege, all intertwined in his delusions.
And as more of us pay much less attention to what color someone is and the fact that people love who they love, and we don't really worry about that anymore as other generations did, is this a problem that's going to be more easily solved or will it become even more complicated?
Well, it kind of talks about, again, the pervasiveness of some of these race politics, so the pervasiveness of still, unfortunately, feeling that white is right. And so that's not just masculine is a source of privilege and power, but it's also, right, he felt his own white status, even though if he was white, half Chinese, he felt that owed him a certain something. And so, right, we see how that, just like misogyny, is still embedded in our system. So that if you look at his manifesto, besides the definite misogyny and the definite, in a sense, hatred towards women who didn't pay attention to him, there is, his anger and angst against Asian men, Mexican men, black men, Indian men, who he saw as beneath him. And so it's harder, right? It proves the power of what we call in academia white supremacy as a social cancer that infects us all and it continues to masticize in various different ways.
Is this something that... I mean, we have so many other things to worry about in our lives. It's something that women should have to think about all the time. If they reject a man, or I mean reject in that sense, but decide they don't want to be with that particular individual, that you never know.
Well, I think it's easier to say that women should worry about this. Certainly, I think women should be concerned about other things, but it should also be a concern for men, right? Because it doesn't just hurt women, it hurts men. It definitely hurt Elliot Rogers, right, in his own self-hatred, his own self-worth. But it also hurts other men, and so we should ask ourselves, not just should women concern themselves with this, but should men concern themselves with this? And where do we get, and how do we move beyond this misogyny / racism that is informing our gender politics so that men are just as, they have pressures on themselves in terms of masculinity, right? And they have to read onto not just the masculinity, but also race privilege.
Well, you led into the most important question then. So what is next? As we're talking about this more, what are potential solutions?
Well, I think the talking is definitely it. So I teach a class on gender studies at Arizona State University, and one of the things I tell students all the time is, we have to start the conversation. We keep saying we're going to have this national conversation on race. We keep talking about the gender gap and how we need to change it, but no one's really having that conversation in a way that moves us forward, right, to say, what are we going to do? So how do we contest that? One way of contesting that, for instance, is looking at Elliot's, Rogers' obsession with blonde-haired people. Now, you can have a like towards blonde women, right? And I'm not taking that away from anyone, but to see them as more beautiful than any other, female is indicative of a larger race and gendered problem. And so we have to look at why do we as a society still privilege this particular look, right, this particular aesthetic, so that even he himself at one point went blonde. Mm-hmm. Because he saw that as beautiful. And so we have to understand what is making us see this as beautiful. How does the media, how does the TV, how do, you know, ads contribute to this? And what can we do to disrupt that?
Professor Suhey Vega is a professor of women and gender studies at Arizona State University. Professor Vega, thank you for the time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for talking about this.